Grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, as we are looking this week in our Passion Week, and it all begins today, Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is that tremendous day that eventually leads up to the resurrection of Jesus Christ a week from now on Resurrection Sunday morning. This week in history. It's pretty amazing. Matthew chapter 21, in a moment we'll read verses 4 to 14. The title of the message this morning is Jesus coming soon? Is he coming soon? With a question mark on the end. I want you to be asking that question today. Is Jesus coming soon? The Bible says he is. And we're going to find out what that means and what we should be doing about that in light of Christ's return. This Palm Sunday, I pray, listen, with what the Bible teaches, think of this. The Bible teaches that Jesus could come at any moment for his church. It's called the rapture. It could happen at any time. I know this is a nice day. You're probably going to go to the beach today after service. I would too. But I'd rather have Jesus come back today. You say, well, Jack, are you sure about that? It's an awful nice day. It's going to be 87. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, because you know what the Bible says regarding heaven? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the minds of men the things that God has prepared for them who love him. It's called heaven. I got to tell you something before we get into the message this morning. You're going to hear a lot about a little guy yesterday that had a really neat, fun influence on my life. He's a five-year-old. I was on a flight yesterday coming from Dallas to John Wayne Airport. And I got stuck with a family that's on Easter break. And little Isaac was sitting next to me. Next to him was his older brother. His older brother's 8 years old. Isaac's 5 year old, 5 years of age. And Robert was sitting next to him. And then there was Dad. And then there was Mom. And then there was a little baby. And they're all traveling out to California. They're going to go to Disneyland. And they're going to go to the beach. We're going to see the ocean, he said. Real cute little guy. And he was just so talkative. When I sat down, the father said, you know, my son talks a lot. And I said, it's okay, it's okay. And the little guy's looking at me. And he said, mister? Everything was mister. It was so cute. We started a taxi. And he said, mister, is this as fast as we go? And I said, no, we're just getting ready to go. It was so cute. So then the pilot, you've been on a plane when they're testing all the flaps and everything's moving on the wing and it looks like it's trying to flap, you know, it's all the junk's moving on the wing. And he goes, what's going on? I go, oh, that's the pilot. He's testing everything. He's checking the flaps and those things on the end, they're called ailerons and that's what he's doing. And he goes, are you a pilot? And I said, well, actually, I do have my pilot's license. I got it when I was 19 or 20 years old, yeah. And the little guy yells across the aisle, Dad, he's a pilot! So this is the kid. He goes like this. He goes, then how come you're not flying this plane? He was so incredibly cute. And I said, listen, I'd love to, but you know what? Did you know your name, Isaac? I said, do you know you have a Bible name? And he goes, oh, it's a Bible name? I go, yeah. And he goes, Mom, I have a Bible name. And listen, all the seats in front of us and behind us, they're all listening to this kid. He was over the top. He was just so incredibly cute. And so listen, we began to take off. And he said, can you pull the shade down? Can you pull it down? I said, why? He goes, I'm scared. And I go, why are you scared? He goes, because you know what? We're going to go high. And I go, dude, it's okay. He goes, can you pull it down? Well, I got a window seat for a reason. I am. Get out. I'm a freak about window seats. I got to have one. And so I told the kid, I said, hey, listen up. I said, have you ever seen a fish on the sidewalk? And he goes, no. I go, where do you see fish? In water. I go, right, the more the water, the fish, the happier the fish is. More water, happy fish. I said, airplane, higher the airplane, the safer it is. He goes, yeah, but everything's so small. I go, the smaller it is, the safer it is for us. And he goes, mister, you can leave the window up now. He was so cute. So then we get up, and we're going through the clouds coming out of Dallas. We're passing through the clouds. It's kind of stormy. And he said, mister. I go, what? And he goes, I think we're in heaven now. That's what I did. Oh, man, dude, we're not in heaven yet, but that's cool. He was so cute. Everything was exciting to him. It was so fun. He took his little dragon that had wings on it. He stuck it right across my face and put it in the window. And as the clouds are going by, he's going, shh. His dad goes, I said, put that thing down. I go, it's okay, it's okay. The kid loved, everything was fantastic with him. And you know what? It reminded me of what we're talking about today. Everything's fantastic with him. Listen, we're Christians. Everything should be fantastic with us if we begin to understand just what in the world's going on. God knows what's going on. This is Palm Sunday. We're not making this stuff up. This really happened. It drove the Roman Empire crazy. This day in history. It drove those who were totally consumed with religion but no relationship with God. Drove them crazy. It's the amazing moment of this day in history that Jesus himself, for the first time, allowed the general population to worship him as God on Palm Sunday. This was the day, if you're a Bible scholar this morning, this is the day in history where it is the official first coming of Jesus Christ. If somebody were to ask you, when did Jesus Christ first come? The answer is not Bethlehem. The answer is Palm Sunday. It's when he presented himself to Israel as King of the Jews. Exactly. I'm not going to talk today about Daniel's prophecy that tells you the exact day of when the Messiah would come on Palm Sunday. Did you know that? The exact day was given in Scripture. 173,880 days from the commandment given to Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem to restore the streets and the walls. From that edict that day of March 4th, 445 BC to April 6th, 32 AD, the Messiah came. That's the first coming. And Jesus held the Jewish people responsible for knowing the very day. But I'm not going to talk about that this morning. It's not why we're here. I'm not going to talk to you this morning about the fact that the Old Testament announces regarding the second coming of Jesus Christ the very specifics as well. First and second coming of Jesus Christ will be to the nation of Israel, to the Jewish people, and to Jerusalem. It's a Jewish event. The rapture is something completely different in between those two events. Know the difference. But I'm not going to talk to you today about that. That's not what we're here for. Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 4. Is Jesus coming soon? Well, that was the question even back then in the hearts and the minds of those who knew what was going on. All this was done, verse 4 says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, verse 5, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly, that's humble, and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And so the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the donkey and the colt, that's the mom and the baby donkey, and laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches. We know from other gospels and from the Old Testament that they were palm branches. From the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out. And this is what they said. Hosanna, that is save now, or save us now, to the Son of David. So Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. By the way, that's 1,000, in that day, that's a 1,000-year-old prophecy. 3,000 years old to our reading today in the 21st century. Verse 10, and when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Then Jesus went into the temple of God, and I love this, and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. In other words, God's house had become a marketplace. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it into a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ to Jerusalem. Is Jesus coming again? Number one, church, jot it down. The answer is yes. So be watching. Did you know that? The Bible says that we are to be watching as a people. Now listen, I'm going to say some things that are going to maybe get you going here. And that is this. It is the spiritual DNA of God's children to be watching for the coming of His Son. It is imperative that you be expecting Jesus Christ to return. Right here, the Bible tells us in verses 4 and 6 of Matthew 21, that all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophet. That's Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, written over 500 years before Jesus was born. And this is what Zechariah said. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you humble, sitting on a donkey, the colt, the foal of a donkey. So, because that's true, verse 6 is the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They were obedient. The scriptures were coming together. They were starting to understand there's much more to the Bible than maybe just a token glance that we give at it, or maybe a nod that we give to the Word of God. God's Word is absolutely true. Do not look at it in an idle way or a casual way. In Psalm 119, verse 103, listen to this. The Bible says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Why? Famous verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. We are to be watching with our Bibles, church. Listen. Jesus in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, he's going to begin weeping and he's going to announce to Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who stones the prophets who have been sent to you. How often I would have gathered you together. By the way, that's a statement of deity. Christ is saying that. He's implying that he's the eternal one. How often I would have gathered you together like a hen gathers her little chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Behold, or now, because that's true, sad to say, your house, the temple, is left to you desolate. Their peace would be taken from them. All because Jesus said you did not recognize the day of your visitation. The very day was known. But what about you and I today? We are to know and understand that there's a time when God speaks to us. For all of us this morning, you might say, well, Jack, I don't believe in God. Listen, there's a time when you've questioned that. Is this God speaking to me? When you've had that brush maybe with an accident or possible event where you could have died and you think a moment of eternal thought, wow, that was a close call. God is speaking to you. When you think eternal thoughts, what's going to become of this? The path that we're heading down in life, what's going to happen? What's going on? It's an amazing thing. We need to be watching and understanding this. Three things, I'll give them to you quickly. It is this. Number one, watching requires a knowledge of the scriptures. Christian, you are to be watching for the imminent return of Jesus Christ. It is true that Palm Sunday is of history past 2,000 years ago. Yes, we celebrate it today. But did you know that the Bible teaches that you and I may not even make it to next Sunday? You say, Jack, what are you saying? The Lord could come back. Anything could happen. Are you ready to meet God? It's an amazing thing to consider. It requires a knowledge of the scriptures. When you study the Bible, I don't care what denominational persuasion you may be of. I don't care who you've trafficked with. Listen, just read the Bible and watch what God begins to say to you. You know what's amazing? I had somebody last service tell me. I talked to them last service. They may be sitting here right now. I don't know. Maybe they were coming in. They said, listen, I've been listening to the radio program, 4 o'clock, K-Wave. Then I started going to the website, and now I've been listening to you guys, your podcast. He said, I go to a different church of a different religion. And he said, I had to come. And I'm here today, and I had to come. And he said, I'd love to have my wife come. So you pray about that. Think about that. You just pray about that. But you know what's going to happen? And if you're here right now, you know who I'm talking about because we just got done talking about this. Here's the cool thing. You don't have to do anything but listen. God's word will get under your skin. And he does the changing. He does the fixing in our lives. And you know what's going to happen? You don't have to preach to your wife. Just live the new life that's starting to happen in your life. And she's going to say, what is with your life? And then just have her turn on the radio. Or have her go onto the internet. Or have her come. God begins to do a work. Why? Because God, the Holy Spirit, uses the Word of God to put knowledge of the Holy One within us. It's the Bible that will instruct us about God. No other book in the history of the world you can read and read and read. And every time you read it, it builds upon what you've read, but it reveals something new, which at the same time does not contradict what he's given you already. How old are you? Or I should say, how many times have you gone through the Bible? And every time you do, every new year we begin scripture reading again. And is it not by the time you get to the first verse of Genesis chapter 1, it's all new again? God speaks something more fantastic than ever. The knowledge of the Bible. Man today boasts that he's knowledgeable, that he's so smart, that he knows everything. Have you noticed? Please, I hope you've noticed that in Romans chapter 1, verse 22, it says, professing themselves to become wise or to be wise, they have become fools, says the Bible. It's amazing. We are an expert. What are you an expert on? We're an expert on global warming. Oh, my goodness. Who's saying that anymore? It's like, and where is Al Gore right now during the worst winter we've had in 50 years, huh? He's probably been in sunny Southern California, I guess. I don't know. What's going on? Read the Bible. Know the Word. Listen, I'll let you in on a little secret. The earth is going to heat up, and it's going to get really hot. The Bible says about a quarter of the earth is going to get burned from the sun. But not because you drive an SUV. The Bible says God's going to give power to the sun to scorch those who live on the earth, about a quarter of them. You say, oh my gosh, that's terrible. Yeah, but listen, here's the thing. That's the tribulation period. Okay? What somebody should do is when you look at what might be going on in the world around you, instead of running to some crackpot guy saying, this is what it is, open your Bible. Oh, global warming's coming, all right. It's just the one that's coming is caused by God, and there ain't nothing you're going to do about it. I'm going to drive a hybrid. That's fantastic. Get a hybrid. Helps the economy. Do it. But know this. It's not going to change the environment. God's in control. He says, I rule and reign from heaven, and I will do as I please. You say, I don't like the way he talks. Well, it's just too bad. He's not asking you what you think. God says, I'm in control. And listen, I say that jokingly, but I want you to be encouraged. God's in control. You don't need to panic. You don't need to worry. It's pretty amazing. Secondly, watching requires an understanding of the times of which you and I live in. Man, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. Have you noticed? How many of you are news gurus? Raise your hands. There's a few of us. How many of you are not? You don't watch the news. Raise your hand. Look at you. Look at it. Okay, how many of you are lying right now in church and you're not answering either way? Yeah. There's just so much bad news going on. These guys are going to nuke those guys. These guys are going to terrorize those guys. And this place just got a big earthquake. And this lunatic over there is going to destroy Israel and America at the same time. And this, oh my goodness. Oh, hey, listen. Understand the times. Understand this. God is in heaven. The earth is his footstool. And as Christians today, we need to keep or stay focused on him. In that crowd, 2,000 years ago, Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. And that multitude that the scriptures refer to speak about those who had been gathered together. They're the ones that laid down the palm branches. They've laid down their clothing as a greeting to the Messiah. And by the time they come into Jerusalem, there's the general population saying, who is this? Well, they understood from scriptures. They said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth from Galilee. Understanding the times. Church like never before. These are amazing days. You and I should be understanding the times. Don't you think it's kind of strange? Anybody think about this right now. Don't you think it's kind of strange that our economic dilemma started with bad loans? Okay, bad loans. But how is it that's infected the entire globe? Greece has fallen apart. Please pray for Greece. Please pray for them. Greece is coming unhinged. There's rioting in the streets. Their economy is imploding. It's horrible what's going on. But then that's happening in other environments. Globally, what's going on? Something big's going on. I look around the world and I see Caltech's reporting in the last 10 weeks, big earthquakes all around the world like never before. What's going on? Wow. Don't panic. Keep your eyes on Christ. Understand the times. Also this, watching requires a desire to see the Lord. Remember that little kid, Isaac? We're in heaven. How cute is that? To his little five-year-old brain, that's how you go to heaven. You get in an airplane. You ever pull up to an airport? It's kind of weird anyway. Not a very good greeting. You pull up to the airport in your car and it says terminal. That's not very welcoming. And then to a little kid, you know, they put like grandma on the plane and they never see grandma again. Where's grandma? We're sending her off. And the building says terminal. But this little guy, he's young. He doesn't know that stuff. Everything was spectacular. A desire. He didn't yell from his seat, ah, we're going to die. Why? I see clouds. We must be in heaven. Christians are like that sometimes. We so love our little things. We can't wait to get to heaven someday when we need it. Come on. It's nice to know that heaven's back there somewhere as a final destination. But right now, I'm having a great time. No, he said when he saw the clouds, we must be in heaven. Jesus said that we need to become like kids again, huh? Before we inherit the kingdom of heaven. A desire to see the Lord. Are you watching the environment? I don't mean the environment as the temperature. The environment, the atmosphere of our lives and where we live and what's going on. And is it not creating in you an expectation of, Lord, come quickly? Oh, I hope so. Please, person, Christian, atheist, believer, non-believer, you name it. Who are you? What are you? Just listen right now. Are you excited about even watching for his return? The scripture says that for those who are watching for him, he shall appear unto them. Apart from sin, by the way. The word says apart from sin unto salvation. Which means those, this is a wild verse, I believe. Quote, go check me out. I think it's Hebrews chapter 9 verse 28, where it announces that those whose sins have been dealt with is in the past. And because, are you listening? Because that's true, you can't wait to see the Lord return. That's critical. Because if you do not understand that your sins have been washed away in Christ at the cross, and that you have been completely sanctified by the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead, you're still worrying about some stuff in the closet back there, or you're living a life that is very legalistic. You're trying to work your way to heaven. You've got all of this baggage, and you don't have the peace of God. But if you understand what Jesus has done for you, and you're trusting him, then you can't wait for the Lord to come back. You say, well, Jack, what do I do about it? Does that mean I don't buy any food tomorrow? Do I just sit around and wait? No, you go buy food. You live as though you're going to be here 100 years, and all the while you're living here, you're looking up constantly, and you're thinking ahead. You're occupying till he comes, says the Bible. But you're ready now. I had somebody ask me this week. I was on the East Coast, and somebody asked me this week. They said, you believe Jesus could come back at any moment, right? And I said, of course I do. That's what the Bible teaches. Absolutely, I do. Well, why do you, I heard you guys are very involved in this, that, and the other thing. Why do you guys do that? And I said, because I believe Jesus could come back at any minute. I go, that's why we feed the homeless. That's why we're making plans to expand our East Wing for the children's ministry. That's why we have mission trips. That's why we're planning this and planning. The guy goes, I don't understand what you're. I said, listen, Jesus said we must do the works of God now while it's daylight, because nighttime is coming when nobody can work. Think of that. See, people want us to think, well, if Jesus is going to come back, that's cool. I'm not going to get a job. I'm just going to sit around and wait. Get a job. I'm waiting for Jesus. Doesn't that sound spiritual? I'm waiting for Jesus to come. Throw the bum out. Get a job. Wait for Jesus to come at your job. Why do we evangelize? Because Jesus could come back today. Very important. A desire to see the Lord. Number two, is Jesus coming soon? Well, that's what the Bible says. Book of Revelation says so. And I'm going to say yes, so be waiting. Watching and waiting. You can't watch and wait independently. You gotta, if you're watching, you're waiting. Are you watching for the bus to come? Well, guess what? While you're watching, exactly, you're waiting. You can't watch without waiting. You can't separate the two. And so if you're waiting, it's going to matter. Look at verse 10 of Matthew 21. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? By the way, that term, you say, Jack, wouldn't they have all known if he was famous? Wouldn't they have known? Actually, no, because 1 million or 2 million pilgrims had come to Jerusalem for Passover. They had not been exposed to the ministry of Jesus. They'd come from all corners of the earth during Passover. And so the multitude answered their question. This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. The very name Jesus means salvation. This is salvation. Well, Psalm 130, verse 3, mark it down. Psalm 130, verse 3 says, if you, Lord, should mark or tally, store up iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you. Can somebody say amen? Yeah. That you may be feared or revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In his word, I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Have you ever had a long night? Have you noticed everything at night's worse when things aren't right? A cricket sounds like a bull at night. If you're not feeling good during the daytime, when do you feel worse? And when you're sick at night, how long does that night seem to last? You ever been in the hospital? That 1 or 2 day stay in the hospital seems like 1 or 2 months. When you're healthy, you don't care about this stuff. My soul waits through the night. My soul waits like those who long for the morning. Oh man, when it's morning, things just seem better. It seems like there's hope. No matter how sick you are, no matter where you're at, when you see the sky starting to turn orangey, pinky, peach, it's like, yes, the morning's coming. Are you renewed in the morning? Have you ever driven all night? Man, that's the worst. Years ago, a friend of mine, we got together. We were driving a truckload of toys to an Indian reservation out of Calvary Costa Mesa. And we almost killed ourselves because we had worked all day on Friday. And we loaded up the truck on Friday night. And we drove all night. We had to be at noon on Saturday somewhere in Arizona to some Indian reservation. And somebody, we were so naive and dumb, I didn't drink coffee back in those days, and some guys told us, just take these things called no-dos. What's that? Oh, you'll be able to get to that reservation just fine. Really? Okay. We took those things, two, you're supposed to take two every hour, so we'll take five, and we almost died. We're like, aah! We get there, praise the Lord, we're here, it's the toys are here. It was scary, but I remember, it was horrible. You see the morning coming, and it's like, yes, there's hope in the morning. And boy, we got sick. We got so sick from that stupid advice we got. It was terrible. But we are waiting. As Christians, we are waiting. And we have a waiting for him and a watching for him that manifests this way with excitement. We are waiting with an excitement. It causes excitement in our lives. We got to remember that. The Lord is coming and we wait for him. But down deep inside, there's an excitement. Number two, there's an expectation. There's an expectation to all of this. We wait with expectation. Excitement, expectation. Just think, church, any moment. And now the temptation is, well, pastor, everyone says, you know, the Bible says it. Watch out. You guys, listen, this is a growing trend because the Bible says it's going to be a growing trend. This is fantastic. People say, listen, are you listening? People say, oh, I used to believe Jesus could come back at any moment, but that was 30 years ago. I'm not kidding. I don't understand that kind of thinking. I used to believe it, but it's 30 years have gone by. My grandmother said Jesus was going to come back in her day. Yes, and trust me, her grandmother told her. And her grandma's grandma told her. You wait. And you watch. The Bible says, Jesus said this, to those who say, I think he's delaying his return. Jesus says that kind of person will begin to get loose and sloppy in their walk with God. They think like this, you know what? I don't think he's coming back yet. So you know what happens? By natural human thinking, you start getting sloppy in your walk. I don't need to go to church so much. I don't need to pray so much. I don't need to read my Bible so much. It's going to be a while. And Jesus says, watch out for that guy. Because he will begin to get slack, lazy, complacent, and he will even begin to drink with his fellows. And he will get sloppy, and he'll say things like this. Where is the promise of his coming? For since creation, people have been talking about his return. Jesus said, I will come back when that guy's not watching and waiting for me, and I will cut him off with a portion of the non-believers. Wow. Serious stuff, huh? Expectation. And then endurance. If you are waiting for him, that's going to cause endurance among us. Now, this can be fun. Endurance. See, I don't like that word. I understand, but it's vital. It's a great word. You know why we don't like it? Because it hurts. Endurance. You're going to have to endure it. What? Well, listen. If you're waiting for something very, very wonderful to come. You ever order something online? Oh, man. How many days? 3 days. Got to wait 3 days. You know, in your head, you're thinking, hey, did something come for you today? You know how you do that? Did the package come for me today? No. Right? What do you do? You are waiting, watching. Okay, at the same time, though, you're enduring. The promise has been given. It's en route. You haven't gotten it yet, but you know it's coming. There's a great sense of excitement, expectation, but you got to endure the waiting. Too many people today are giving up on the return of Jesus, and they're cashing in on Christianity. Number one, the Bible said that would happen in the last days. Number two, don't let that happen to you. Very serious. Number three, is Jesus coming soon? Yes. So be worshiping. Okay, here we go. In verse 9, it says, then the multitude went before him, and those who followed after him cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna, save us, save us, save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. A 1,000-year-old prophecy in that day, 3,000-year-old prophecy today. 1,000 years before Jesus was born, David prophesied that there will come a time when the Lord will come to Jerusalem and people will shout, Hosanna. You might say today as a skeptic, well, the people read that psalm and they went and they lived it out. It was a self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, read the entire scripture and find out how that was not true. The very ones who received him with those accolades this week in history will turn their back on him. And a great part of them will say, crucify him! By the end of the week. In Psalm 118, verse 23, Psalm 118, 23, the Bible says, this was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. That's worship. Verse 25, save now. Hosanna, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray. Send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord, a messianic psalm being fulfilled on this Palm Sunday in history. Worshipful. Three things again. Get ready to write them down. Number one, worshiping is my acknowledgement to Him. Okay, listen. Worshiping is my acknowledgement to Him. From me, I am to Him, acknowledging Him. I worship Him. I'm going to ask you to do something in a second. Wake your neighbor up. This is very important. Raise your hand if you know it's true. How many of you in this room this morning are Christians? Raise your hand. Okay, put your hands down. If we're Christians today, the world should know that we acknowledge Him in our life. Where? I don't know. Where do you go? The other night, I forget what night, I was in a hotel. And you guys remember Tommy Ice? Thomas Ice, brilliant theologian, genius. His room's next to my room. We were speaking at a conference. It's 10:30 at night. On East Coast time. So that's even late for me. I go to bed with chickens. So, I hear a man talking on the phone. Yes, I want a thick crust deluxe pizza. Extra cheese. I was completely fine. I had a banana and two tangerines. I looked at those things and I thought, who wants that stuff? I can hear. And I'm wondering, man, what is that? So then I looked and it says, you can order from your room. Domino's. I'm not even big on pizza. But that guy said it. I heard somebody say it. So I called them right up and I said, hey, you know what I want? I want one of these things. I don't even eat that late at night. It's just crazy. So I opened the door and I look around and Tommy Ice's head is sticking out of his door and he's looking around. And I go, what are you doing? He goes, I just ordered a pizza. I go, so did I. I heard you order your pizza. So then there's a knock at the door 30 minutes later. And I'm still talking about worshiping God wherever you go. The guy knocks on the door, and he comes to my door first, and he's this young kid. And I go, oh, thank you, that's great. I said, is there a place here to write down a tip? He goes, a tip? Yeah. Oh, I need a tip. And I go, well, why do you need a tip? He goes, I'm $128 short on my rent this month. That's what I did. I went, oh, man, what happened? He goes, I went to a strip club this month and blew my money. I said, how old are you? 19. I said, let me tell you something. Look at me. I said, I'm an old man. I'm old enough to be your father. Listen to me. I'm going to get this pizza. I'll never see you again. So you listen to what I'm going to say to you right now. God went with you to that strip club and He didn't like it. He saw everything that you were seeing. Do you understand me? Yes. And I said, look, don't do that again. Jesus died on the cross for you. He loves you. You don't need to live like that. Do you understand me? Yes, sir. He said, he goes, yes, sir. I said, now look, you think I was hard on you right now? You're going to deliver a pizza. You're going to deliver a pizza 5 feet away right there in that room. And I said, that guy, he really knows God. Yes, sir. It was so cool. That guy, he ended. And Tommy Ice has got that beautiful white hair and you can hear, ooh, you know. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you can insert the fact that you know Jesus. And people need to know Him too. Thirdly, worshiping is my agreement with Him. It's my agreement with Him that I need Him. To worship the Lord is to say, Lord, I bow my knee because You are supreme. I bow my knee because You are God. I bow my knee because I need You. Doesn't the Bible say every knee will bow, every tongue will confess? This can be the Palm Sunday of your life today. You can bow the knee today and say, I want Jesus Christ in my life. I want to start my life over again. I want to right now agree with God that I'm the sinner. He's the Savior. But the Bible also says that He takes sinners and He, Listen, he declares us saints. Listen, not some denominational headquarters, not some Vatican, not some temple. The Bible says to the saints who are at Rome, to the saints who are at Colossae, to the saints that are at Ephesus, to the saints that are in Jerusalem. Isn't it amazing? Saints. What's a saint? God says, this is a saint. The sinner who puts their trust in me, I declare them righteous, and he justifies us. The word justify simply means it's as though we had never sinned in the records or the annals of God. He does that. You and I know each other too well. Man, look at that guy. He's a sinner, man. That guy's a sinner. Of course he's a sinner. To those of us in this room, anyone in this room who's walking the most holy life, there's somebody in this room, isn't this weird to think? There's somebody in this room that sins less than anyone else in this room. But guess who that person is? No, I'm kidding. Just joking. Whoever that person is, come on now, focus. Whoever that person, if they're truly walking close to Jesus, believes that they are the worst of all sinners. You know why? When you get so close to his light, every little goober, every little freckle stands out like a mountain. It's like HD. It's there. It's an amazing thing. Number four, we'll end with this. Is Jesus coming soon? Yep. So be walking like it. Be walking like it. You see, well, Jack, I'd love to. Well, this is good news for you then. Look at verse 14. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Isn't that simple verse? We would have just run right over it if we didn't slow down here and look at that. The blind came and the lame. Wow. Wouldn't you have loved to have seen this? Oh, man, look at all these blind people. What's going on? And they're going like this. Excuse me. Can you point me in the direction where Jesus is? Yeah, he's over there in the temple. Thank you. And they go. All the lame guys coming. Excuse me, do you know where Jesus went? He went over there to the temple. What's going on, you guys? All these blind people and lame people are following him. You know what? The blind people can see better in this story than the people with eyeballs. The people that are out in Jerusalem playing badminton and stuff. Hey, what's going on over there? They're the ones crippled. Their heart's crippled. The crippled people, they're going to go get fixed. They've come to Jesus. Have you been crippled in life? Okay, let me rephrase that. Have we not all been crippled in life? I read in one of those magazines that's in front of the airplane seat. Amazing story yesterday. Some restaurant in L.A. and in New York is making all kinds of money. You go there. You have to make reservations because they're super booked. You go there and you sit down. Everybody gets seated at a certain time. And they turn off all the lights. Pitch black. And then they come out and they bring the food to you. And you eat in the pitch black dark. It started in Europe in 1999. It started at a church. A pastor thought God had told him. Your church body, they don't know what it's like to be handicapped. So take this message that you've been teaching about blind people and blind your church. Bring them in. The church in Germany paid for the food, told the church, hey, come on, we're going to have free food. Come on. They all came. The pastor shut the windows, shut the doors, turned off the lights. And he said, now listen, we're going to eat. And they got food all over them. They spilled all over themselves. But you know what they found out? Listen, everybody. You know what they found out? They found out that in the pitch black darkness, they concluded the food tastes much better in the darkness than it did with the lights on. And they concluded that psychologically, when it's dark and you're eating the food, it causes the taste buds to be more focused on what you're tasting because you're not distracted. Plus, how cool is that? You don't have to dress up. You don't have to brush your teeth or go and nothing. You just go there. Black. And he used that as a message. And people picked up on it and they started restaurants because the food tastes better. Think about that. The blind people came. You want to know why? You know why blind people still come to Jesus? Because he tastes so good. Why do lame people come to him? Because he feels so good. He touches the heart and changes the life of those who'll come. In Psalm 107, verse 19, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. How many of us need that? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of man. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. In three ways. Walking in the power of his word. Mark it down. Walking in the power of his word. Walking in the light of his fellowship. And walking in the joy of his love. Go ahead and leave those up on the screen for a second. Walking in the power of his word. It's what we've been doing this morning. That this word literally becomes the source, foundation, the place where we all go to in our daily life. In the light of his fellowship. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with not only with one another, but with him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the word in Greek, is continually cleanses us of our day-to-day sin that we stumble across in life. And then thirdly, right there, in the joy of his love. You guys, this is where we end. The world is coming unhinged. These are prophetic, the Bible says, last days. As Christians, I pray this morning that as you leave this building in a matter of minutes, that you will have an understanding that as you guys go out, imagine this, you have bright, bright orange or green rescue vests on. And you're going to be deployed to this community or beyond in a minute. Take to them what you know. And that is Jesus is coming soon. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. I'm going to ask all of us to bow our heads. I'm going to ask you to remain seated. If you would, as we worship. The parking lot's been locked down closed, so you can't leave anyway. So it's time to worship him. For those of you who are visiting, this is not the time for you to give. For those of you who have not concluded if this is your home church or not, it's not for you to give. This is for this house. This is our worship. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to make a decision for Jesus. If you've never done that, today's the day that you might see. And today's the day that you might walk in Jesus' name. Let's worship him now. want you to think for a moment. We're singing about His mercy right now. I challenge you. Assemble the gods of the world, the gods of the earth. From totem poles to idols dwelling in temples. Have you ever seen such a God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Have you ever seen such a God who said, in the beginning, let there be light? Have you ever seen such a God that declares that I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore it is with loving kindness that I have drawn you? Have you ever heard of such a God who says to you, cast all of your cares upon me and I will care for you? Have you heard of such a God that says, I love you so much that I have sent my only glorified Son, that if you would believe in Him, you would not perish but have eternal life? Have you ever heard of such a God who says, though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them as white as snow? Is there a God besides my God who has declared, I will be crucified, and on the third day, I'll be resurrected from the dead? I'm going to ask everyone to be seated right now, real quick, please. Stay praying, heads bowed, eyes closed. Right now, right where you're at. If someone today is here saying, I need Jesus, I need this God you're speaking about, well, that's awesome. God is speaking to you if that's what you're thinking. But everyone Jesus called, He called publicly. Jesus hung on the cross for you. And I'm going to ask you, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and I look across this sanctuary, today's the day for you to stand for Jesus. I won't embarrass you. I'm just going to ask you to take a stand right now for Jesus. And then I'll have you sit down in a moment. But will you stand right now, right where you're at, and be absolutely willfully negligent of those around you who might think or care? Can you stand right now, right where you're at? Stand. Anyone else? Stand. No peeking, people. Don't peek. God bless you. And you? Anyone else? And you? Is God speaking to you? Stand. God bless you. Anyone else? If you feel Him stirring your heart, if you right now, God bless you. If right now you hear in your heart, there's an anxiousness, there's a God bless you and you and you. There is this turbulent thing going on the inside. And that still small voice, so faint but yet powerful, is saying, stand now. Let me tell you something. That is not you and that is not Satan. The Lord is speaking to you. That's the Holy Spirit. Don't refuse Him. God bless you and you. Anyone else? Stand now. Quickly, stand. Awesome. Those of you who are standing, all the brothers and sisters with me now, let's pray. Let's pray with them. Let's join with them. Those of you standing, pray this. God is listening. Dear Lord, I come to you now. I'm standing for you, Jesus. I believe you died on the cross and you rose again. And I need you now. I confess today that you are my Lord and Savior. I give you my life in Jesus' name. You can be seated. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now listen, everyone. We're going to end in this closing song. Those of you who stood, after this song's over, you can come up front. There's Bibles up here. And inside these Bibles, there's a great DVD about the life of Jesus. It's spectacular, by Campus Crusade for Christ. You're going to want to have it. And there's a little card on there. We want to know your name. We promise not to bother you. We will not bother you. A group will begin praying for you. Starting today, they're going to start praying for you. You've made the greatest decision of your life. Now, listen, what you want to do now is feed upon the Bible. So we encourage you, be back Wednesday night. Read this Bible every day. Come Friday evening at 7:30. Worship the Lord among His people. Watch what happens in your life. You've made the most amazing decision that you'll ever make. At the end of the song, you come forward and grab these Bibles. Let's all stand together, church, as we close in this song of worship.